morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from the studio in beautiful sunny downtown Waukesha. Thank you so much for joining us today. As always, if you want to join the show, you can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a very busy show coming up. Things moving around a little bit. We got a couple moving pieces. J.R. Ratcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is their sports guru. He normally joins us on Thursdays, but he is actually going to be out at the game tomorrow while we are doing the show. So he's going to join us this morning at 11:06. Going to talk a lot about baseball.
Yes, indeed.
And I know you have some questions, Greg, for J.R. And then hopefully Dr. Laura Hanks will be here for public service announcement at 11:33.
Yeah.
She texted me this morning and said she's on call because she actually is a doctor.
What?
She does doctor things.
I didn't know that. Yes. I thought it was just a fun title, like, you know.
Just call me doctor.
Dr. Why not? Feelgood or Dr. Ruth?
No. She is a medical physician. She is an OBGYN, so she said she has a C-section. And hopefully it will be done by the time the segment starts. So we're gonna stay fluid with that. We're not going to interfere with Dr. Laura doing doctor things.
Exactly. Or like Dr. Pepper. I should have said Dr. Pepper. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Comedy's tough.
You were in D.C. over the weekend, I'm really curious how your trip was.
It was fun. We had a really good time. Lot of walking. It's a very walkable city. It's the transit system there is wonderful. They have a great train system there. Took a lot of trains, did a lot of walking, did about 25 miles of walking.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, seriously, I worked off any and all foods I ate. And we had wonderful meals, went to the archives and saw the Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence. It was interesting because you're like, oh, here are the documents. You're like, these are big pieces of paper and they are very hard to read.
They are, because the writing is so tiny.
It's very, and it's fading.
Teeny.
It's also fading.
Yeah.
It's almost blank paper now.
Oh, wow.
But we were there, you know, over the Memorial Day weekend, and we saw the, you know, the Memorial Day parade, which was beautiful.
I bet.
Very, very cool. Very solemn. You know, it's just all these individuals from all over the country observing those who have given their life through the military for this country. And what was really, you know, kind of put the button on the whole experience was we were coming to the airport to leave. We were coming home and we were flying out of DCA. And DCA is it's a wonderful airport for the size because
it's really small.
You just get in.
Yeah, it's a very small airport.
It's not like Atlanta where you're like, all right, welcome. Take tram 3 to tram 42.
Yeah.
Wait. So we're about to walk in. And I hear a lady going, welcome, welcome, your bus is right over here, make your way down here. And I look and I see all these older folks coming through, some in wheelchairs, but they're all wearing the same hat. Some of them wearing shirts with the same emblem, but I couldn't read it. So I just finally walked up to a lady who was wearing a Navy shirt who was doing the welcoming, saying, excuse me, but is this a honor flight? She goes, oh yeah, this is Stars and Stripes. This is honor flight. I do the ones out of Madison. I go, oh, this is happening today? She goes, yep, we have one today. We had one, and she's rattling off all these cities. And I just want to say, hey, I'm just, you know, I'm on, I do a radio show in Wisconsin, and we had Karen
Relke
from, Stars and Stripes Honor Flight. And she goes, oh yeah, yep. And just had a little moment, and I just thanked her for what she did and watched it happen. And it gave me some chill bumps. And
yep. It's really emotional. If you've never been part of it, to either welcome the vets in DC or welcome them home at Mitchell International Airport.
Yeah.
It's really something to be part of.
Yeah, it really was. And it was kind of just like, you know, as we're walking into the airport, that last little bit of observing Memorial Day weekend. As on Friday, someone mentioned celebrating, we got a text from someone said, you don't celebrate this day, you observe it. And I said, you're absolutely right.
Yep.
We do observe it. So, well, even though we were celebrating family that weekend, we did observe what is a very solemn day of remembrance.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you got to experience that. I bet it was wonderful.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. DC's beautiful and fun. My only complaint, 86 degrees.
Ooh.
Like 80, 86 degrees every
Ooh,
day.
Ooh, yeah. Swampy.
Yeah, it's very swampy. Like that, and not like hot, like
wet.
Wet. wet hot. And you're like, ugh, everything's failing right now. My deodorant's gone. And I'm, you know, so it was just tough. I'm a big guy and I run warm to begin with. So it's just, yeah. Beautiful city, our nation's capital. Bring down the temperature a little bit.
Yeah, if you can do that, that'd be nice. We also want to thank Joe Zepecki,
who filled
in yesterday. And from all I understand, Calvin, Joe did a great job, and you guys had a good time.
Yeah, it was a great show. He had Senator LaTanya Johnson on to talk about her article over at the recombobulation area. And yeah, it was a great show.
Cool. Thank you so much to Joe.
You don't like him more than us, do you? Huh? Calvin, answer me.
Nothing can beat Jane and Greg.
Yes.
We have to pay him now, you realize that.
Oh, I have been for months.
Oh, Calvin? Oh, yeah. Okay. Never mind. Yes, good.
How do you think he takes all those emails with the complaints? I had to start paying him for that.
Speaking of, if you ever want to get in touch with the show, if you have a guest suggestion or a topic you think we should cover or something going on in your community, no matter where you are across the state, just shoot us an email at janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. .us and we will respond to your email. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to start off with when loyal isn't loyal enough.
Yes.
And we're talking about former President Donald Trump and those who have fallen out of favor with the man. And the list is long and it continues to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So Donald Trump over the weekend endorsed a challenger to one of the leaders of the Freedom Caucus.
And what is the Freedom Caucus, Jane?
Well, the Freedom Caucus, that's Jim Jordan and Paul Gosar and Matt Gaetz.
Yep.
All those guys.
Yeah.
The far, 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 far right.
Yeah.
That's not far right enough, apparently.
Not for one man.
Not for one man. Yeah. Trump officially endorsed Representative Bob Good's primary challenger yesterday morning, a big liability for the chair of the House Freedom Caucus. Here's, I think, what the issue was. Good has now endorsed Trump for president, but he initially backed Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, that was the big problem.
That was not good. But I think it's important to point out that Bob Good was among our elected officials who went to New York City to talk to the press outside of Trump's trial, which is going on as we speak, and defend him and all of that. And that wasn't enough.
No, because
he went to lick the microphone for Donald Trump and he was not impressive enough, apparently.
Yeah. So apparently John McGuire, who is challenging him in the primary, he also went to the court. They both did on the same day, I guess.
Oh, wow.
They both made appearances. And I guess, you know, Trump had to take the weekend to think about it because, you know, what a thinker. And he decided that, the chair of the Freedom Caucus, not Trump enough.
Doesn't support me enough.
No, nope. He said bad things about me. What do you say? Attacking him and fight. Good was attacking and fighting him up until recently when he gave a warm and loving endorsement, but really it was too late. The damage has been done. What was the damage? He just backed a different horse.
Can't do that.
Nope. Can never do that.
No. You have to be completely loyal all the time, although he has made exceptions.
Absolutely.
Because you brought up J.D. Vance of Ohio.
J.D. Vance of Ohio spent a good part of his early days in politics screaming, never Trump, no Trump, I will never vote for Trump. And then one day, it's as if someone said to him, they whispered into now Senator Vance's ear, hey, do you want this?
Do you want to win?
Better fall into line. And the thing is that Bob Good endorsed him. It seems like individuals such as your J.D. Vances and your Tim Scotts, in order to get his real love, you have to fawn over him. You have to fall over yourself for him. He's not even better than sliced bread. Sliced bread was invented by Donald Trump. That's how great Donald Trump is.
Do you remember during his administration, the meeting he held with all of his cabinet members? And they all had to go around the room and compliment him.
Gross.
Do you remember that?
I don't.
Oh, we'll find it. We'll find it. I'll find it.
Yeah.
It was excruciating to watch.
That's a cut scene from a terrible movie, in my opinion. I can't believe.
If only it had been a movie.
Yeah. I mean, so this really brings me back to the question I asked before, which we can get to, and we'd love to hear from you on this matter. But I've asked this before. Bob Good, committee chair of the House Freedom Caucus, far right, endorses Trump. Yes, he backed Ron DeSantis, but he's endorsing Trump now. When is loyal not loyal enough? And for those listening out there who are MAGA supporters, because we know we have them, you've called in.
Oh, yeah.
At what point will your loyalty be no longer good enough? You, not that you change your mind, you think Donald Trump isn't good, or you're upset you voted for him. It's that you are you love Donald Trump, but now something he has said or done or something you believe doesn't fully align, and you're no longer... I hit the microphone right there.
It's getting vehement.
When are you not going to be loyal enough? When are you not going to be MAGA or Trump enough? And what's going to happen to you? Because in a next Donald Trump administration...
Oh, they're going to get rid of us. Yeah.
They're going to come for people.
Oh, without a doubt. He said that repeatedly.
So I don't like saying it like this because I don't... How safe do you think you are then? How safe do you think you have to... What do you have to do to remain safe? Because they'll keep tabs.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're going to keep... I believe they're going to keep harder tabs on those who say they believe than people like us who are just communist, leftist, women in caravans. I'm not even a woman, but they probably think I am one.
And evil.
Evil.
Also evil.
Anti-American.
Evil and the Texas GOP had their convention over the weekend.
Yeah.
And the religious element has taken over completely there.
Yeah.
And so if you don't align with Trump, you're an evil Satanist, apparently. Bad news, folks. 855-752-4842. If you want to join the conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Stay here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. And welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join our conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the application that Elon continues to actively ruin. Just a reminder, coming up at 11:06 instead of tomorrow, J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will be here to talk all things sports. And then Dr. Laura Hanks at 11:33, provided her C-section is done at that time. She is an actual working doctor, and she was on call today. So hopefully she'll have a chance to join us at 11:33. And if you ever have a question for her, a medical-related question, doesn't have to be OBGYN-related, you can always email that to Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Another reminder as well, since today is such a beautiful day,
mm-hmm.
our very own Johnny Watermelon
mm-hmm.
is going to be out at the Pewaukee Farmers Market that runs until 3 to 6 p.m., 3 to 6:30 p.m. at Galilee Lutheran Church in Pewaukee. So stop out and see Johnny.
What about you?
This Saturday.
Whoa.
I will be at the Waukesha Farmers Market from 9 until noon.
Oh, my goodness.
Very excited about that. We're giving away a bike.
What?
Yes. So stop by our booth, our tent, and to register to win the bicycle. Pretty nice.
I know what the answer is going to be, but can I win the
bike? No, you cannot win the bike. No, you can't. But if, and I was thinking about this, if you would like to have a longer conversation about things in general, this would be a good opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be there for 3 hours.
And, you know, you'll have her trapped in a booth.
And I can't escape.
Yeah.
So come on down. Waukesha Farmers Market. I'm quite sincere about that.
Yeah.
I love to talk to people. I would love to meet people. If you disagree with me, I would love to talk about it. I really would.
Come on down.
Come on down this Saturday from 9 to noon, the Waukesha Farmers Market. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We got a text message from Carmela saying, good morning. That's your line. I love that. Good morning. I appreciated Joe Z on your show yesterday. He calmed me down regarding Trump and the polls. He had excellent counterpoints regarding people with opposing views and even talked to the last guest regarding inflation. He finished the show by saying, you can disagree without being disagreeable.
Absolutely.
You should have him on as a guest. We'd love to. He's a very busy man.
We've had him on before, but yes, absolutely.
I would love to hear a conversation with you all, especially with his calming point of view. That's it. Going to be okay. Carmela, Milwaukee. Do we not have calming demeanors? Do we make people nervous?
I hope not.
I hope not.
Calvin, would you stop making people all jumpy? Jeez.
Also, keep it down over there. My God.
I know. He's just constantly interrupting.
Ugh.
It's exhausting. No, Joseph Hickey is wonderful.
No, he is absolutely great.
And he's extraordinarily knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. And he's very pragmatic.
Yes.
Right? He doesn't overinflate things. He's not trying to scare you. He's just trying to tell you what's accurate.
I heard him say something on Pat's show once where he said, I worry about everything. I panic about nothing.
Fair enough.
And that's good. That's a good way to look at it, because if you panic about everything, oofers.
Yeah. What an exhausting way to live.
Oh, no, thank you.
Too exhausting. So yes, we will absolutely. Joe is a really busy guy. He does a couple hits on different radio stations, and he's got a lot going on. But we will absolutely try and get him as a guest. We love talking to Joseph Hickey. Wanted to do this real quickly before the 10:30 news. Robin Voss, Popcorn King.
Oh, my gosh. What's that?
Oh, that's his entrance. Nice. Thank you, Calvin. Wow. Thank you for that, Calvin. Robin Voss is not out of the woods yet as far as a recall is concerned. The group pushing to oust him yesterday filed what they claim is more than 9,000 signatures trying to recall the longest serving assembly speaker in Wisconsin history.
I'm sorry.
I know.
We've talked about this before, and Pat talked about this morning, and I'm just going to repeat what I said to this morning on Up North News, which is you could have ran someone in a primary against him.
Yes.
Instead, you're doing this hokum.
Yep.
How many months before the primary?
Yep.
And then let's say you recall him by some act of a popcorn god. Then they're going to be in office for how long? Then you have to run them again. And guess what Robin Voss does? He gathers strength, power, endorsements,
and
more
money.
And he crushes your person because they don't have the name recognition. You look like dum-dum suckers.
Republicans, of course, angry that Robin Voss refused to act on the former president's request to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election. Voss has argued there was no constitutional pathway to reverse the election results here. Former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, of course, helping with this recall effort. He said the previous effort had been sabotaged, but this time much tougher efforts were put in place to ensure that only valid signatures were collected. The majority of the signatures came from the 63rd district, as opposed to the first time around when they had people from Arizona on this recall petition, which is not technically Robin Voss's district.
Yep, it isn't. No. This is being, and they filed a second recall before the first one was even declared null and void. Baby dolls, look at me. Look deep into my eyes. If I believed in what you were doing, I could help you so easily by just telling you to sit down, pop open a cold beverage.
And wait.
Take a knee and wait.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just, you, this is like, I don't even, this, oh, God. It'd be funny if it, once again, it'd be funny if it was a movie, but this is real.
This is real life.
And Gableman thinks, he's drank the Kool-Aid hard on this one.
We have a clip from Mr. Gableman. Calvin, let's play that real quickly.
Robin himself calls supporters of the recall whack jobs, idiots, and morons. Now, that's a hell of a way to talk about your constituents.
Well, yeah, he did say that.
Yeah. Sometimes I respect Robin Voss.
Does he even care anymore?
No, I don't think so. Robin Voss is going to step down when he wants to step down. Or are you talking about Gableman?
No, I'm talking about Robin Voss.
Oh, yeah. He's going to step down when he wants to step down, and he'll be revered. He'll be in the Republican Hall of Fame with Tommy Thompson, and that's about it. And, you know, he's brushing them away. They're not important to him. They're not in his way. They're not going to do anything. Mike Lindell is their big spokesperson. He's the celebrity they had at their big thing, their big shindig earlier this year. And Mike Lindell probably couldn't be there for the second one because he's too busy launching MyPillow 2.0. That's a real thing. I didn't make it up. So, I don't know why they're doing this. And frankly, Robin Voss must just be sitting back going, yeah, go ahead, spin
whatever.
Yourself out. Because by the time they get any sort of traction on anything, primary is here and done. And it just makes no sense. I will say, what I said before, take a knee and relax. Tony Zimmerman, perfect response. They don't like taking knees.
Oh, that's true.
That's a very...
That's absolutely true, Tony. Thank you.
And thank you, John Jed Jorn, for the glasses compliment.
Okay.
They're very nice glasses.
News is coming up. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We are coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Hey, we have a new contest.
What?
Starting up next week, Civic Media's next Text to Win. The Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest kicks off next Monday, June 3rd at 7 a.m. So you want to tune in and text for a chance to pick up prizes, including Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus a chance to win a Scani Summer staycation. You have chances to win every weekday from June 3rd to the 14th, starting at 7 a.m., continuing through the 7 p.m. hour. And all you got to do is download the Civic Media app.
Darn right.
So go to wherever you get your apps and download the Civic Media app, and then you can call and text directly from the app to whatever station you're listening to, whatever show you're listening to, all across the network.
And because it's a contest with the app involved and the app costs $7,000 to download, we just want to make sure it's worth your time, right? It's $7,000 now. They were because of inflation.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, it's free.
What?
The Civic Media app is free. So.
But there's so much functionality in that.
I understand, but just go download it anyway. And it's absolutely free. So I wanted to address a couple of things that came in on the text line while we were listening to the news. There's Sam from Milwaukee. We were talking about Carmela had sent in this really lovely email about how great it was to have Joseph Pecky on yesterday and how calming he is. And we were concerned that we're hyping people into a frenzy. And Sam says, I'm pretty sure you guys aren't spreading panic. But when hearing the news and truths about Trump, that's just the natural human response.
True.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah. Speaking of Donald Trump.
Yes.
The jury, the 12 jurors for the Donald Trump election interference case are now officially in deliberations to decide whether he's guilty or not. The judge gave instructions for about an hour on how they should look at the evidence, testimony, and weighing the credibility of witnesses. The judge also told the jury they must conclude unanimously that the defendant conspired to promote or prevent the election by unlawful means, even though they don't have to be unanimous in what unlawful means. This is from Really American One on Twitter. While many legal observers believe the prosecution delivered a strong case to the jury, the defense only needs to convince one in order to get a hung jury, right? And that is done.
Yeah.
Then it's over.
I mean, I served on a jury once and we thought we were hung on one of the five charges and we sent a note back saying, sorry, judge, she sent the note back saying, try harder. And we're like, oh,
uh-oh.
Oh no, more pizza, please.
And did what ultimately happened?
We came through. I mean, we found him guilty of three of the five charges. It was actually pretty interesting because at the beginning of the trial, they're like, this is going to be like Law and Order. It's going to be, there'll be a lot of process. It'll be kind of boring. It was the opposite of boring.
Really?
I mean, granted, I didn't like that I was there for the reason I was there because it was an assault trial, but the process was fascinating from start to finish for me personally.
I mean, it is a lot of hours of sitting there just listening, like being, you know, being in a lecture.
Note-taking and then going upstairs and talking to people and figuring out who wants to talk about it and who wants to go home.
Well, we will keep our eyes posted on this. I would be very surprised if this happens before our show is over, but you never know.
Yeah.
You never know. I did want to talk about something else that happened over the weekend because we were both off yesterday.
Yes.
And it was a holiday weekend. It was Memorial weekend. So I know a lot of people had a lot of other things going on. But Saturday night was the Libertarian Party convention in Washington.
Oh, we're going to file this into a new segment we're going to call. What did you think was going to happen?
It was amazing. it was really amazing.
Yeah. And
from the beginning, so they have delegates. The Libertarian Party has delegates to their party, like every party does.
Yeah.
And they are supposed to get preferential treatment in you know, the ballroom and stuff like that, where people are lining up to see the speakers for that evening.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing the Trump campaign tried to do was to stack the front of this ballroom with Trump supporters.
Okay.
Yeah, that didn't work because they all got asked to move at least a couple rows back to open up the rows for actual Libertarian candidates.
Yeah.
Nice try. Bob Kennedy Jr.'s team. Oh,
why was he there?
His team handed out rubber squeaky chickens that said, debate Bobby on it. And the Secret Service confiscated the rubber chickens. So no one could squeak them while Donald Trump was speaking.
Sorry.
There was a moment where someone actually apparently got one through and held it up. So you have this little, Trump is speaking, and off to the left is this little chicken kind of dancing through the air, as you could see the silhouette of the rubber chicken. But the speech itself, which was about 30 minutes.
Oh, God, that sounds awful.
Wasn't necessarily all that well received.
What? You're telling me that Donald Trump, the almighty king of the dollar,
everyone loves,
the business tycoon and genius of America, wasn't received by what I affectionately called Republicans with indie label street cred? That's all libertarians are to me.
Here's a clip from the former president speaking to the Libertarian Party convention over the weekend in Washington, D.C., essentially telling them, you need to vote for me. You need to vote for me if you want to win. Calvin, let's play that clip.
That's nice. Only if you want to win. Only if you want to win. Maybe you don't want to win. Maybe you don't want to win. Thank you, D-Roy. Thank you. No, only do that if you want to win. If you want to lose, don't do that. Keep getting your 3% every 4 years.
Okay, that last one, that was funny.
I have always found that the best way of getting support from people who are on the opposite side is to insult them directly to their face. Nothing cuts through more than that.
Oh. Folks listening at home, that was not like bad audio quality with like a weird, he wasn't in a room with a big air conditioning unit. That was a room full of people, hundreds of people with a slow roll boo. Just.
And it went through almost the entire speech. It was remarkable. And whoever decided that that was a good idea, I'm sure is now looking for a new job.
Well, who is the candidate? Who's going to be their candidate?
The Libertarians, they chose someone that no one has ever heard of. Peter Chase or someone. I don't think it's that important. But again, it was pretty apparent that they believe they need the support of these people. Otherwise, they would never have taken a chance and put him out there in front of them like that. Yeah. Never. Never. So, obviously, they feel like they need the support of the Libertarian Party, which, again, he wasn't wrong by saying they only get about 3% of the vote. But if this election is as close as some people seem to think it's going to be, that could make a big difference. And now he just ticked them all off.
Well, the thing, too, is you know, if you are a true libertarian, which honestly, like I meet people who are libertarians, and then when they get to talking,
explain what a libertarian follows.
Well, libertarian is about as much freedom as possible. They want as little government in your life, in their life as possible. They, you know, there are many libertarians who are like, I'm pro drug legalization. That's not for the government to get in my face about. I'm pro, you know, same sex. Like basically, you just get to live your life unencumbered by
the government,
which, you know, is fine and dandy until you start needing things
like roads
and because government doesn't just mean the federal, it means all forms. Believe it or not, Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation, perfect example of a libertarian, because he's just like, I don't believe the government should exist. I think that we should be able to do this on our own. I don't need your help. But we all need help sometimes, and that comes from like to trash pickup, to road building, maintaining road safety,
sewer systems,
street lights. Those are all things maintained by the government. And I've just never been able to find someone who can square pure libertarianism with living in this country. You don't like it, go buy an island and live somewhere else. But you have to interact with the government somehow. And don't even ask a libertarian about taxes. You will regret every sentence, every word of that sentence when you ask it. But if you're a libertarian, like a pure libertarian, not voting for Trump, I'd love to hear from
you. Absolutely.
And tell us why he doesn't adhere to your party's needs. And if I've made fun of the libertarians too much, that's fine. I'll deal with that later.
Well, and if we've misstated, then absolutely call and correct us. I don't have a problem with that at all.
But yeah, it's the fact that he was even there is amazing, because he should not be there at all, because he does not stand for what they believe in. Because, I mean, especially in the sense of Project 2025,
right.
This is the government coming down in a Orwellian nature to reign control over you, which
is
probably why they're upset.
And we're going to continue. We're going to talk more about Project 2025 over the next couple of months. We have done a couple of segments on it, but it's really worth checking out, folks. It will completely remake our democracy as we know it. It absolutely will. So we will do that as well. But for right now, we were just talking about Donald Trump's super successful appearance at the Libertarian Party convention over the weekend.
And if you're not watching the live stream right now, you can't see the little bits of, you know, fun, joy, the schadenfreude.
It was just so interesting to watch his face, because he's so used to only appearing in front of very, very friendly crowds.
Absolutely.
This has to have been the first time in years that he's had to face a crowd that wasn't 100% vetted for him. And to watch his face as he tried to keep control until he finally snapped with that snarky comment about, okay, don't vote for me. Get your 3%. Again, brilliant move, Don. Keep doing more of that. That's so smart.
Yeah, I'm surprised he did. I'm surprised he appeared, but I'm surprised he didn't walk off earlier. And
I am too.
And yeah, he's not. If you've read any deep dive articles about him and his inability to deal with
criticism
in any way, shape, or form, especially from a mass of people, you need to go out there, read like whether it's a book or an article. He is thinking about this right now, and he's still asking, why was I there, or why didn't they like me? It will haunt him.
I don't think he thinks about why they don't like me. I don't. They're just morons if they don't like me.
Yes, but he doesn't understand but I truly believe that Donald Trump is thinking to himself, like, when I say why don't they like me, I don't mean like, why don't they like me? I'm like, well, why aren't they entranced by me? I'm me.
They should just, everyone else.
Everyone should just like me. Everyone on earth likes me. the same 500 people.
But again, that just means that those people are flawed.
Exactly.
The one thing that the libertarians did seem to agree with Trump on, he claimed that on day one, he was going to pardon this Russ Ulbricht, mm-hmm. who started this website, the Silk Road.
Yes, the dark web.
The dark web, and apparently made hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Trafficking drugs.
Yeah.
There was sex trafficking involved, mm-hmm. and he's serving a life sentence.
Yeah, and Donald Trump wants to pardon him.
And he wants to pardon him, like the January 6th attackers.
Yeah.
Who he still continues to call patriots and hostages.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned that at that convention as well, that he's gonna pardon them all. Well, even ones who violently attacked the Capitol Police.
It's the same thing you were saying before, do unto thee, not to me. Because if any of these people cared about things specifically about sex trafficking, which includes children,
yes.
if you cared about it half as much as you actually, as much as you voiced it in your comments, in the movies you make that are financed by people who are arrested for kidnapping, mm-hmm. then this kind of thing should disgust you. But for some reason, it's fine. Why is it fine to you now? What sort of hypocrisy do you lay upon when it's okay that this man who has made so much money off the pain and misery of others, why? Because the government shouldn't interfere?
I'm not quite sure where the logic is in that. We'll look into that a little bit more. All right, when we return, kind of a painful trip down memory lane, but I think it's really important.
Yeah.
So stay here, stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'd put my money down and I'd sign my name on that little corner lot where it don't ever rain. And baby, me and you would never fade, never fade. We'd never fade. Never fade, never fade.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, and Calvin coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha, where you can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Also, if you download the Civic Media app, you can call and text directly from the app, which is a pretty snappy feature. So just go to wherever you get your apps and download the completely free.
Completely free.
Completely free Civic Media app. I wanted to do this because I think it's important. I forget what I had for dinner last night. Mm-hmm. And I think we all tend to forget, even though some things are still relatively fresh.
Yeah.
And I was off on Friday, so we didn't talk about this, but I do want to do it now. Friday, May 24th of 2022, was the shooting at the Uvalde at the Robb Elementary School in Texas. Mm-hmm. And a gunman killed 19 children and two teachers and injured 17 others. While heavily armed, highly trained officers stood outside for 77 minutes mm-hmm. as these kids were getting slaughtered.
Yeah.
Here is what Donald Trump said at that time about that horrific shooting in Uvalde, Texas.
During my 4 years, nothing happened, and there was great pressure on me having to do with guns. We did nothing. There is no political appetite for that at this moment.
Go, run over there.
Deepest sympathies to the victims and families touched by the terrible school shooting. It's just horrible, but have to get over it.
These are the same green Converse on her feet that turned out to be the only clear evidence that could identify her after the shooting.
The NRA wants to do the right thing. I don't think I'll be going up against them. I mean, they're very close to me. I'm very close to them. They're very, very great people.
I shouldn't have to be here right now, but I am because my friends don't have a voice no more.
Having to do with guns, we did nothing.
Trump administration very proud of that. That they did nothing.
Well, I hope they took it
for gun safety measures.
I hope all the friends and families and former coworkers of everyone involved, I hope they got over it. Because that's what he told them to do. Get over it. It's time to get over it.
I was working somewhere else when this happened.
Yeah.
I just remember how angry I was. I was so angry as more details came out about this and what happened to those children.
Yeah.
Because of the power of this weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people quoted in that little spot, the only way they could identify some of these kids was by their shoes, because they were so mutilated. And yet the response was, well, we're not going to do anything. Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. And Trump has now promised that the few gun safety measures that have been implemented under the Biden administration, he's going to repeal those.
Probably on day one.
Oh, yeah, most likely. I am curious, if you are a gun owner, how have any of these restrictions under the Biden administration adversely affected your life?
Yeah.
How has this infringed on your freedom? I'm genuinely curious.
Yeah. Do you mind if I ask another question?
Go right ahead.
It's one I've asked before, and I'm going to keep asking it until we no longer have to talk about this man, which I know is going to be later than sooner. If you are a supporter of Trump, MAGA, whatever you want to call it, how do you square these words? You just heard him say, we have to get over it. Children are dead. Teachers are dead. People are injured. It's not very pro-life, if you ask me. And he has the nerve to say, time to get over it. How do you square that sort of behavior on top of everything else he has said and done? How do you square your support of that? How can you hate the other guy so much that this man is your healthy and logical option? And how does that kind of option influence the moral compass that you want your children, grandchildren, and the younger people in your life to have?
But I've seen comments on Twitter that say, my guns over your kids, period. My guns are more important than your kids.
I don't like talking about it because I don't like bringing up other shows, but Jon Stewart, that interview he did with the state representative.
Oklahoma.
He's the guy couldn't have an answer to the fact that the number one killer of children in this country is guns. But because it says shall not be infringed in the Constitution. Those words are more important than your children's life and safety. Your kids have to go through run, hide, fight
drills
in school. They have to spend millions of dollars on bulletproof doors, and we have to stuff those institutions full of people full of guns. We have to give your teachers guns because of those words in the Constitution. We can't get around it. It's just, I'm sorry, guys. If it just said, hey, we like guns, we should have guns, maybe, but nope. Little children are less important than your stupid, dumb guns.
And it's not like you can't buy guns.
Yeah.
It's not like you can't get guns. And it's not like everybody's coming for your guns. There are gun safety measures that a vast majority of Wisconsinites agree with, which includes tightening up loopholes,
mm-hmm.
especially at right gun swaps, and red flag laws.
Yeah.
These just seem to me some common sense things that we can do that is not drastically going to affect your ability to carry your weapon.
Yeah. Also, no one's ever been able to purely and logically justify why owning, you know, you want self-defense, you have a gun in a safe and you want self-defense. Okay, you want a gun for a rifle to hunt, I get that. But when you believe that you need to have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guns, and your only response to me is, well, this is to protect my house and my freedom and my family. Cool, there are 4 of you, you have 10 guns. And I guarantee you, one of you, unless you're telling me that the children are going to get armed and help protect the homestead, this makes no sense to me. You just like guns. Just say it and tell us that you value them over the safety of your family and the safety of others.
As Jon Stewart asked that lawmaker, when will more guns make us safer? We're still waiting. That's what we've all been told.
Yeah.
More guns will make us safer. Doesn't seem to be working out so well so far. All right. We will lighten up things when we return. News is coming up next. And then J.R. Radcliffe from the Journal Sentinel will be here to talk sports. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.